from 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. As I have a little more time, I'll begin at the first verse of chapter 5 and read down through perhaps verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And if so, that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you for that precious anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, that we may hide ourselves in you. Yes. Thank God for the next few moments in that. As we visit with you and you visit with us, you may convey to us this morning the message and the need that we have need of today shall be fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. From this scripture passage that I've read to you, I want to speak on this subject this morning, some new things for 1969. If you'll notice in this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're beginning a new year, and I trust by the help of the Holy Spirit that we'll be able to come into Christ. You say, well, I've been in Christ all this past year, but I want to come into him afresh this morning. Praise God. So we can say with the scripture, therefore, if I begin in 1969 with a fresh anointing, with a fresh revelation of Christ in my heart. I'm a new creature for a new year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is facing us. Now this year, no doubt, will bring about many new changes. This year, no doubt, will bring about many new problems that will face the world, and many problems that will face the church, and many problems that will face the Christian that we never faced in 1968. Yeah. We shall no doubt see new styles. We already see them. We shall no doubt see new fashions. They're on the market. And we shall no doubt see new customs. And customs may come and customs may go. As we who have been saved for some time already know, little rituals that we build up of our own, not really recognizing the fact that they have actually become rituals to us as Christians.
That's right.
Which we have hold to as a form of tradition, which we've come into, and I have them and you have them. And I catch myself with these things. I did not have any church background, so therefore I couldn't carry over any of the traditions or any of the rituals that I received from other church denominations. All that I have, I've built up from a Pentecostal standpoint. But yet, be that as it may, and we must face it in 1969, we have them. We think we ought to sit in a certain seat, and we think we ought to sing a certain song at a certain time, and that the Holy Spirit will move because we do these things. But it isn't so. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old things pass away. So I want to speak to you this morning from out of my heart to let the old things pass away. And let's get in Christ and take that He has for us today and the newness that He wants us to confront this age and this hour with the full revelation of Jesus having been brought into existence by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the foundation of the Word of Truth, that we'll stand in this year and present the glorious gospel of Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All of these things may come and go, but the old fashion gospel is still the only answer in 1969 to man's dilemma. And so the things that I want to speak to you about this morning are really not new in that sense. But I want us to come into Christ today that He may create them anew in us. And first of all, I think perhaps basically number one that I feel as I minister to you today is that we need a new faith.
Yes, we do.
You say, oh no, Pastor, the same faith. But let me tell you something. The same faith, yes, but a new revelation. If you'll have it this way then. If we come into Christ, you remember when you was first saved, when you first experienced this exhilarating manifestation of the Holy Ghost, and faith began to well up within your heart.
Yes.
I'm talking about that kind of faith. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and I trust by the grace of God in the prayer meeting this week, that I get in Him, in a new experience in Him,
Hallelujah.
Until my faith is renewed, hallelujah, as it was when I first found Him and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, is your faith slipping? Be that as it may, my friend, after a period of years when men have walked with God and there's doubts and there's fears and there's problems and there hasn't been the answer to prayers that we thought and so forth and so on, it deteriorates. And Jude said, I wanted to talk to you about this common salvation of men's souls being saved, but I felt an inspired needful to write unto you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. There's been, we must acknowledge it, there's no need of hiding your head in the sand like an ostrich. There's been a deterioration of that faith, especially across Pentecostal circles. There's been a deterioration of that faith. And that's why I listed number one, my friend, we need, I believe, beginning this year, a new faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God being anointed by the power of the Spirit. He says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And if we have any faith to do anything for God in 1969, it will be looking unto Jesus, who is the author, hallelujah, and the finisher of our faith. It's a faith that I'm talking about, my friend, that works for Christ. You know, James was writing about it in that second chapter of the book of James. And one man says, I've got faith without works. And another one said, I've got works without faith. But my friend, listen, we need, and as James said to us in 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. He said, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And even so faith without works is dead, being alone. They must come together. And so let's bind them together, as the Bible has said, and let's produce the works that we have, the faith within our heart. I thank God for the glory of the kingdom. Then I think that we need a faith to live for Christ. In Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We need that faith to walk every day. He said, well, how can you live a year for Christ? Live it moment by moment. And I trust that God somehow comes to us and gives us this new insight as we come into Him anew and afresh in this prayer meeting. And we arise and say, by the grace of God and the power of God, I'll claim that faith to walk and to live, hallelujah, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Need this faith that's centered in Him. And then I think perhaps we need to know, perhaps, and understand our position. We need a new position. We have, some of us, traveled quite a number of years since we have experienced salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so easy to let this wonderful experience with Jesus and all of these wonderful manifested blessings that come by knowing Him to deteriorate in our thinking and in our position to the point until they become common things with us, and we no longer give the reverence, and we no longer give our allegiance that we really should give unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because we just take it for granted. The communion table is there, and when the communion is fixed, it'll be set on the table and it ought to be there. But this isn't so with the Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. We need that assurance this morning of our position in the Lord upon the rock Christ Jesus. Psalmist David had like experience as you and I. In Psalms 40 and 2, he said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit of the miry clay. We need to be reminded of where we were. Maybe even where we were in 68. He brought me up out of an horrible pit of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my going. When you and I come to this place in Christ and become this new creature in Christ, and a new faith has gripped our heart, we recognize the position. We're standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus, that is unmovable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we feel that firm foundation and that assurance. And let come and go what may, when that Christian feels that firmness of Christ and he stands upon Him, he knows his position in Christ, the devil will not be able to shake us. Then we need to know our position of acceptance. And Paul was having this problem with the church at Ephesus, he wrote to the Ephesians in the first chapter in the sixth verse, and he said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Friend, you remember when you came burdened down with your sins and woes of life. You remember that when the old passed away and you found that new hope and that new life, you felt those great arms as they were reaching out, and you was accepted into the family of God. To the praise, he said, of the glory of His grace, and to the praise of the glory of His love, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. You have been accepted. You may not have the fire this morning revival you ought to have in your life. This is why we're having this prayer meeting. A revival is to bring back all those experiences and to renew, hallelujah, that contact. Amen. To bring us into this new relationship in Christ Jesus, and let the old pass away and let Him blot it out and know that we stand accepted in His grace. Then we need a further position, I feel, and that is the position of no condemnation. This is one of the things that browbeat Christians. This is one of the things that hinders revival in our lives and in our churches, is the condemnation of not walking accepted, standing upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the scripture, therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Go back to my text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. Oh, glory to God. Could it be this morning? What would it be? I asked myself this week as I prayed, if every one of us this morning met God, as we met God when we were saved and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and every Christian and every one of us that claim in here to be Christian this morning went out of here with that same exuberant, exhilarating experience. You give me 400 or 500 people leaving a church service like that this morning. Every one of them just as if they just got saved. Every one of them, they just got the baptism. Ooh, can you picture what this would be in your mind's eye this morning? That if all of a sudden you have this many people and every one of them just got saved, what kind of an experience would be happening in here? Some of you shouted and some of you cried and some of you laughed and some of you moaned and some of you groaned. It'd all be going on at the same time. What kind of an experience if all of us sitting in here this morning, all of a sudden, we're baptized with the Holy Ghost and the fire right now. You see what I mean? Oh, glory to God. And the position of no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is the position we need to come in 1969. Then I think perhaps following this, we need a new assurance. No, you say, Pastor, don't tell me. I've been reading this book, and I've been searching this book, and that great man, John the Baptist, that walked out, and Jesus said, there has not been greater that's been born of a woman than John the Baptist. Walked out in the third chapter of the book of Matthew and shook those Judean hills with a thundering voice, preaching the power of repentance and baptizing them in the river of Jordan and telling them that there's one coming after me as mightier than I, shoes I'm not worthy to loose, saying, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He looked up and he saw him come and turned around. The book of John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world took him and baptized him in Jordan and saw the Holy Ghost descend out of heaven and sit down upon him. Hallelujah. Heard the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear you him. When he was in prison, about to lose his head, he called the disciples and sent them down to a little revival meeting and said, ask that man if he's the one we should look for, or shall we look for another? Oh, my friend, I don't care how long you have been a Christian. I don't care how long you have walked and read your Bible and how much you prayed. There comes the day and hour in every man's life that he needs that assurance revealed afresh. New in his life. He's got to have it.
Hallelujah.
Because we're human.
Yes.
Because we're human. John had to have it on the Isle of Patmos. He got it. And the way he got it is the way you and I get it. He got in the Spirit. And it'll only come, thank God, through the Spirit. What do you say, preacher? We need assurance over doubt. When I was first saved, I didn't hit the ground for the first 6 months. They told me, said, one of these days, the devil's going to hit you so hard, he's going to run over you like a steamroller. Said, you won't be that thin. You're that thick. I thought, boy, you guys are crazy. But when did he hit you? And the questions went through your mind, am I a Christian or am I not? Did I get the baptism or did I not? Did I get healed or did I not? Did God answer prayer or did I not? If these things hasn't affected you, my friend, look out. Look out. We need assurance over doubt. But he brings it to us in John 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If we are plucked out, we pluck out our own selves. Nobody's going to take us out. We lay the blame off on somebody else. But we need assurance this morning that we're in the Lord Jesus Christ and that He still loves us. Thank God, and that He wants to help us. We need further assurance over temptation. Oh, yes, temptation has been great in 68, but let me tell you, it's going to get stronger in 69. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, listen to what He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Oh, He didn't say it is easy. Because you have kept the word of my patience. Listen, He said, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the all of the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Power of temptation is coming. We must face it. But it's up to you and I to keep the word of His patience. And because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also, thank God, keep thee. Hallelujah. Oh, let me move along. And then we need an assurance. I thank God forever. Hallelujah. In Psalms 121, verse number 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Oh, Christian in 69, get your head up. Throw your shoulders back. Thank God. If we have failed God, if we have sinned, if we've made mistakes, meet God again at that altar of prayer. Walk out, hallelujah, in a new year with a new faith, hallelujah, with a new position, with a new assurance over the doubts and conflicts of life, hallelujah, and say, revival, hallelujah, in 1969. Then I think that falling hard upon the heels of these first three that I've given to you, there will be a new service. Mm-hmm. As Brother Navarro said a while ago, we won't be just looking for pay. Mm-hmm. A new service. We need a new dedication of our service unto the Master.
Hallelujah.
In Luke chapter 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And as sure as you and I sit in this congregation of people this morning in this house of worship, there's a cross for you to carry in 69. There's a cross for me to carry. Amen? And I tell you for sure, sometimes we don't want to carry them. We don't want to carry them. Some of them are hard. Some of them are heavy. Some of them are seemingly more than we can just absolutely bear. But He said, whosoever doth not bear his cross You can't bear mine. I can't bear yours. You don't know maybe what mine is. I maybe don't know what yours is. But Jesus knows exactly what your cross and my cross is. Hallelujah. And he will help me to carry that cross because I want to be his disciple. Don't you? I've got to be somehow. Somehow. I've got to be. Hallelujah. Oh, there's many battles and many struggles. And I told Sister Lindsay at the breakfast table this morning, there's many of them we're going to have to face. But somehow, I've got to be. You know, if you're digging a ditch, some of it's easy and some of it's hard. Some of it's nice sandy loam to shovel like this land out here where they're building this new church. And some of it is rocky and hard and conglomerate and it's tough going. And the same is in every aspect of life. Somebody said, yeah, but if you just knew the position that I'm in. Well, this could be said of all of us this morning. But let us say, by the grace of God, that I've got a new faith, a new position, a new assurance. Hallelujah. And therefore, I'm going to render a new service in 1969 for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to render a cross-bearing life. Thank God. And I'm going to render a self-denying life. He said in Matthew 16:24. And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's a denial that has to come in every one of our lives. And we've got to bring ourselves in the position that we can look at it and say, no, no. We need to know, my friend, how to say it. We need to know in the authority of God's word how to say it. I'm denying myself of this thing. For the glory of God, not for the praise of man, that anybody else shall know, but I deny myself. Amen?
Amen.
Because you can readily agree with me, I'm sure, that self is trying to take over the whole rule of the church, the world, and everything else. And it ups itself back to the same point that when the devil said, God does know the day you eat of that, you shall be like him. And we aspire into the same position to be equal with God. But self has to be crucified, denied. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. And then, my friend, we need a Christ-following life. In Mark 8:34, and when he called the people unto him with the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We sing that song. Where he leads me, I will follow. Will you teach Sunday school? Can't, Lord. Just too busy. Where he leads me, I will follow. They need you to help in the Royal Rangers. But I've just got so many nights taken up and everything. I can't be in that. I'd have to pray and have to work out those Bible lessons and take these boys, and them boys get on my nerves and they shake me up. And where he leads me, I will follow. I'd be the Sunday school superintendent. I'd be a deacon thing, but I just don't want to get involved in that kind of position. But when you get in Christ, when you get in Christ, and when you and I become new creatures in Christ, are you hearing me? He said, Lord, I'll pick up the songbooks. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. Isn't this true? In 1969, this challenge is going to come to every one of us.
That's right.
Every one of us. Amen. So I'm saying this morning that we need to render a new service to the glory of the Lord this coming year. We not only need a new service, but we need a new joy. Oh, you say, no, I started to say Hammond has got that joy this morning. I didn't want you to put your hand up because I want to preach about it a little bit further. It's so easy, my friend, for us to lose that joy, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can come to church and And for a week's revival meeting, the power of the Lord's coming down, and it'll just be wonderful. And we can walk out the front door and somebody fuzzes up at us a little bit and... We need this joy because of deliverance. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know in Colossians, the first chapter and the 13th verse, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When you rose from that altar, you begin to love your enemies. Thank God you was filled with that exuberant joy of the manifestation of God's grace. What a wonderful flow. You just wasn't mad at anybody. You know, and I preach a few revival meetings when I've got hugged accidentally and didn't really, I was kind of waiting, we're kind of watching for it. I've seen some of these young ladies get saved and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I've had a few of them grab me before I really knew what was going on. They're just grabbing everybody, everywhere, because their heart and their life was filled with that joy in their heart. Amen? You had it. I had it. We all had it. Do we have it this morning as we begin 1965? If we don't, let's go back and get in Christ. Because a man or a woman that's in Christ has joy, even in the midst of tribulation, even in the midst of temptation, because He has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Then we have joy because of that liberty that we have been set free from the bondage of sin and that yoke of sin upon us. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Use that liberty that you stand in today. Hallelujah. And you say, well, I'm free. I don't want to be tied up with any organization. Oh, friend. You know, everybody that says they're free and that they don't have any kind of an organization has the biggest organization of them all. That's just true. This is true. And Jesus organized the church. He called and sent His disciples in the first church. There takes some amount of organization. But don't let that bind you up until your liberty is gone, is what He said. In love, serving one another. Then we need that joy because of the comfort it brings. We know where we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. David found it. Oh, he found it. In Psalms, yes, he found it. And the 23rd Psalm, brother, sister, the sun setting on the horizon for old David. He said, but the Lord God is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy comfort, Thy staff, they comfort me. Brother, sister, there is the joy of comfort. Did you get it? The joy of comfort, knowing that we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we claim this promise this morning? Go out of this building. Thank God, saying, I have that joy of the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit in my heart. And then I'm asking that we have a new prayer life in 1969. We need a new prayer life. It's so easy to let it just fall into the doldrums. Isn't this right? It's so easy to let everything else take precedent over it. It's so easy to let everything else, little important things. Now, I have seen the day, and I don't know, that may be a radical departure, that when people felt it is so necessary to pray that they didn't cook, wash dishes, make bed, keep house, do anything else until they prayed. A lot of them didn't even work. Some of them felt it so important, didn't even go to work. Now, if we sneeze a little bit or feel a little bad or something, maybe we won't go to work. But I don't know if we ever feel so important to pray. We need to pray for our enemies. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you, and for them that persecute you. You talk about a revival. When we get a new prayer life, praise God, when we get a new anointing of the Spirit, that we begin to pray. And I've already been praying about this. I've already repented about it, because after these astronauts read the Bible and everything like they did from way out there around the moon space, I thought that was so great. And this woman that got the Bible thrown out of the courts up in, where's New Jersey, someplace up there, the one that started, got the Bibles all thrown out of the schools and every place else. You couldn't read it. Atheistic, agnostic woman. She come out with her big statement in the paper, and I said, they ought to bundle her up and send her to the backside of the Siberian desert someplace and leave her. And I wasn't feeling too good about it when I said it. You can tell about the way a fellow says it, how good he feels about it, you know. Sometimes that little emphasis, that little feel that projects out there maybe means or says stronger more than the words do sometimes. And I said, Lord, forgive me. That woman is an enemy of God. She's an enemy of the things of God. And I need to pray for her instead of sending her over there, that she might find the blessing to the love of God in her heart. Amen? This is true. And you know, God sometimes, I think, sends these things along to kind of wake us up and shake us out of some of this lethargy and taking for granted all of the things that God has given us, and we ought to have them, and shouldn't anything interfere with them. We got to recognize that the devil was thrown out of heaven for trying to take over the throne of God, and he's trying to take over all of other God's other kingdom and business, my friend. We got to recognize that we're in a warfare, and we need to pray, my friend, that God will stretch forth his hand for our enemies and love them and ask God to help them, and that they may find the same love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray for all that is in authority. 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. I exhort you therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, whatever they are. Amen? For all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I said, Lord, I'll tell you, in this sermon, I've been finding out a lot of things. I think that it caused me some trouble. When I've prayed for them in all sincerity, and I've asked God to do what he needs to do for these, he said, that I may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty before him. Amen? We need a prayer that's steadfast. He wrote to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, rejoice evermore, he said. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is a hard one. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But then I'm going to close. I see some of you getting a little restless. See, I just had a little more time this morning. It is not quite 12 yet. Give me about another minute or two. In 1969, we need a new testimony. Now, when I was first saved, I knew they had a testimony meeting every night. I'd get out in the daytime and I'd practice up on me a testimony. So I could see. I was always the bashful type, and I couldn't talk more or less. And I wanted to have a good testimony, so I'd get out and practice me one. But then when I got to church, and it come time, and I had to get up and testify, then I couldn't think of a word of the one that I practiced on it. And then I really did make a mess of it. But you know that if a man is in Christ, he don't have to practice up a testimony. Thank God. Oh, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hallelujah. And I found out, Lord, this ain't going to work. What do you want me to do? Then God just revealed this to me. Hallelujah. In Psalms 119, he says, give a testimony of praise. us trying to talk about all these other things. And what we need is to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need is a testimony that will exalt Him and lift Him up and will instill that desire and hope in other men and women's hearts. I thank God to serve Him because of what He's doing in our life. And so in Psalms 119, verse 171, let my supplications come before Thee. Deliver me according to Thy word. My lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of Thy word. For all of Thy commandments are righteousness. Oh, glory to God. And when you live for Him day by day and you let the Word of God become a living reality in your heart and life, it is producing in you constantly that spiritual truth and power and growth. And when you begin to witness and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ for His Word, hallelujah, the glory of the Lord begins to flood your soul. It begins to touch the whole atmosphere around about you. We need a testimony as lights in the world. In Matthew 5:14, He said, "You are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our testimony needs to be with that brilliancy, thank God, of the touch of the Lord upon our heart, that we've been with Jesus and we've been shut in with God and an altar of prayer, and the radiance of God's glory has been flowing out of us. We need a testimony without sin.
Yeah.
In Job the second chapter, verse number 10, this old man that loved God, sitting out there having lost all that he possessed, household, children, riches, everything that he had was taken from him. And now he lost his health. And this is the most tragic thing that can happen to any of us, believe it or not. And as he sit there in this ash pile, finally in dejection, scraping himself with a piece of crock, pouring the ashes from the green wood upon him to try to kill some of the infection, scraping himself almost dead, completely full of corruption from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, the last thing that happened to him is his wife said unto him, Job 2nd chapter 9th verse, "Dost thou still sit in this ash pile? All of your children are dead and buried in the grave, one grave. All of your riches are gone. All of your livelihood is gone. All of your house is gone. Everything that you owned and possessed is gone. Your health is gone. You are dying. Those worms are eating you up. Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" Job, curse God and die in that ash pile. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." What? "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? Friend, may we pray that God will keep us in 1969. With a testimony without sin. Hallelujah. Job sinned not. And he said, "Though these skin worms destroy my flesh, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand upon the earth in the last day, and I shall see him." Oh, I know this is the desire. But we only will be able to reach this desire and see it cultivated in our life if we are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, our Father, this morning.
Hallelujah.
For your divine presence, for the gracious will of God. Oh, you're here in such a way this morning. You're here, oh God, in such delivering power this morning. My Father God, I thank you because that you are here in such a magnificent way. Jesus, open our hearts and help us, Lord, to get rid of any jealousies or any bitternesses or any envies or any strifes or any contempt, anything, Lord, that would hold us or hinder us from getting into Christ Jesus. Thank God. Let us come boldly to that throne. Hallelujah, this morning. Let us open our door wide to you. Oh, Jesus, we need it because you have given us a job to do, a task to perform. If something's got to be accomplished in the year of 69. And Lord God, we pray that it shall happen here today. In Jesus' name. The altars are open.